Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. Tonight, a live call-in presentation with author, composer, performer, and psychic channel, Barbara Whiff. Barbara is an international peace activist, award-winning author, inspirational speaker, composer, and co-founder of Conflict Resolution, a revolutionary way to resolve conflicts of the psyche, based on her work channeling Albert Einstein. Barbara has authored 6 books on metaphysics, and she lectures on her Einstein Unified Field Theory, Maps of Human Consciousness, and the Science of Compassion. Barbara Whiff, our special guest tonight. We'll be taking your phone calls at 718-766-4421. Now, here's our Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome, everyone. It is Friday the 13th. Have you a suspicion that Friday the 13th is superstitious, or have you an assurance that Friday the 13th is a lucky day? Call in and let us know. Our special guest tonight has some experience in the mystical, and we're going to find out all about her just as soon as we get to the show. I want to welcome my co-host, Doug Bentley, back to the show. Good to have you back, Doug.
Thank you very much. It's been a few weeks, and I'm very happy to be back.
It's good to have you here. Our special guest tonight, Barbara Whiff, was telling me just off air that she lives in an exotic place in one of the most, the biggest freshwater lake, I think, in the North American continent, if not the world. And we're going to find out all about that in a moment or two. Barbara's here tonight, and she's going to tell us all about her award-winning publishing of books, and that she is a psychic channel and a composer and performer, and she is a dynamic lady. So I'm going to say welcome to the show, Barbara. It's great to have you with us tonight.
Hey, hi, everybody. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're really looking forward to finding out who is Barbara Whiff and what do you do. So please introduce yourself to the audience. Who are you?
Well, I'm something of a Jill of all trades, but I am particularly right now a psychic channel. I've been a psychic channel since 1987 when I officially started channeling. And before that, I started out as a musician. I was about 5 years old when I climbed up on the piano stool and started to figure out how to play the piano. And by 12, I was writing songs. And so by the time I got out of high school, I had 2 sets of original music, and I went right on the road. So I often equate writing music in the same genre as channeling Einstein.
That is something special, that you're channeling Albert Einstein. And you've written or authored 6 books on metaphysics, including one about, channeling messages from the wonderful Albert Einstein. Can you tell us a little more a bit about that, or how did you get into channeling and how did you get to Albert Einstein? That's fascinating.
Yeah, and it's kind of a twisty road that I took. When I was in high school, I was privileged enough to have a friend whose mother was a channel. Now, we didn't call it that back then. She just gave readings is what she said. And she told us she would go out into outer space, and she never remembered what she said, but she delivered these incredibly compassionate, loving messages. And with me, she talked a lot about my music and what was in store for me and my mission in the world, my healing mission. But she was just an antenna. She said she was just an antenna. She never said that she was channeling any entity, that she was just picking up my higher power and talking to my human brain with it. So that's what I grew up with. And then when I started to channel, it was through automatic writing. I just kind of spontaneously started automatic writing. So I knew what it was, but when I started then to do readings for people, that's how I explained it. I was just like an antenna. But in 1993, I wanted to do some group channeling and see what would happen if I channeled in a group of people, because this voice that they always talked about, we, and I just assumed it was, you know, kind of a collective we. And so in 1993, I and Teresa McMillan and Kimberly organized groups in our living room, and we record them and transcribe them. And when the girls asked who they were, they said, you can call us angels. And I was very skeptical, I have to admit and tell you. I'm kind of a skeptical psychic. I didn't know how I felt about that. But I did admit that the information that was coming through me was so divine and so high level compassion that I would believe that there was some angelic force in there. And what they said was that they had this revolutionary way to theory to about how to resolve conflict as an answer to world peace, that they needed somebody to test it on. They needed humans to really have conflicts and then apply these new principles to them. And apparently we volunteered and were chosen to be those people brought together, you know, quite synchronistically. So we did. We used their information. We had our first fight and actually went and got the transcripts and applied their advice and had a completely different outcome of that conflict. And it was kind of addicting because it was like bringing us in small steps kind of peace that we'd never had with ourselves, frankly, and then with each other. So we went on to publish our first book, Diaries of a Psychic Sorority, Talking with the Angels, in 1997. And then I got a literary agent, and she was shopping the rights to the book, and she got a call from a tabloid in London on the one-year anniversary of Princess Diana's death. And they were looking for an interview from beyond the grave.
Wow.
And again, I was highly skeptical of, first, that wasn't what I do. I'm not like somebody who does mediumship or readings. I knew I could speak to angels, apparently, and I was learning that I could speak to people who had passed on, but they came to me and they were just ordinary people who wanted to get a message to their son or something. But so I'd never done this before, but I thought about it a long time, and I thought, you know, let's just try. So I channeled, I typed and channeled both the questions and the answers, apparently, and then printed it out. And when I read it, I was just overwhelmed with emotion because it was so profoundly Diana, and I could hear her voice in my ear, and she talked in great length about her relationship to Dodie and her kids and what happened that night. But she also, her whole message was about peace. It was about world peace. That if all those millions of people who put flowers at the gates of the palace went and worked for peace and inner peace, that the whole world would change. So the tabloid flew me to New York. They spent 5 hours with me, but they didn't end up wanting to publish the article. And I think it was because of there wasn't any information about Charles and Camilla in it.
Okay, sure.
Something.
You might get you might get a little too close to the truth kind of thing, right? You know?
Yeah, right.
So well, tell the audience what it's like to get there. I mean, for people who are just listening to the broadcast, they might not know some of the terms you've used. What is it when you talk to the angels? Is it like, can you perceive them? Is there an energy? Is there a vibration? Or you hear words? Or is it a two-way conversation? And then you said that sometimes you don't remember what you've just said. When you were doing this answer and question thing in this state, I found that intriguing. So tell us a little bit, just to educate the audience, what it is that you actually do when you are channeling or connecting with these intelligent beings on the other side.
Well, for me, it's a—it's not really a trance. It's more of a meditation. It's a closing my eyes. I always say, get out of the way, where I picture myself in a little, my ego, which will go on and on through the session. I picture it in a little rocking chair, like a tiny little rocking chair. So it gets tiny little voice. And then I listen. And so, as I said in the beginning, it's a lot like when you write music or when you play music and you're improvising and you're listening for something that, when I wrote music, I always said I was listening for the song that was already written. And when I started to actually channel, you know, I started by automatic writing. That was a spontaneous thing. But after about a year, I thought, I got to try this speaking, but I didn't know what to think or expect or how do you do it. And so I was at a party one day and I was explaining to people my newfound psychic abilities, but I needed to try this. And I shut my eyes and I took some deep breaths and I felt this energy moving from my feet up my body and then up out my head. And then I started to quite spontaneously speak, apparently very eloquently, about I don't remember what exactly because we didn't record it the first time. But at some point I went around to all the people in the room and said things to all of them. And then and so while I was conscious while it was going on, I didn't quite remember what was said. And when I came out of it or opened my eyes, people were crying and the biggest skeptic had like asked the most intriguing questions. And it was just, it was fascinating. And so I kept doing it and just seeing what the results were. I didn't have a lot of expectations of what it should be. And now after all of these years, there's a, quite an ease that I have and a comfort to be able to, it's kind of more like a body feeling. Like when I get out of my way and I take, and then that voice comes through me and it's just so beautiful and eloquent and mysterious and multi-layered and fascinating. And so I try not to analyze it too much, but when Diana and channeling the questions, again, you know, I don't claim to be able to explain the mysteries of how these things happen. And it took me a long time to get evidential with Einstein. So let me jump back to the interview with Diana. After they didn't want the article, my agent and I decided to see if there's any other famous dead people who wanted to talk. I mean, if we could do this, wouldn't you want to know? I mean, wouldn't you want to talk to everybody? So we made this list of interesting people, and the second one to step up was Nicole Brown Simpson. And she was very poignant and eye-opening as well. And we got to John Kennedy, and he told us that we would be told who was going to come because they had been working together in this party to help craft this message of world peace for the world they'd left behind. And then when Einstein came up in the queue, when I was told Einstein was coming up, I knew that voice. That voice was the very first voice that flowed through me. It was the voice in the spontaneous automatic writing. And I even think it was in the vibration of the music that I was writing. It was a very familiar, and it's hard to explain because it wasn't like I had any obsession about Einstein, but I knew it from the inside out.
Well, that is most, unusual. When you were channeling, did you have like a voice like Einstein, like an accent, or explain a little bit?
Yes.
How did that go on?
Mm-hmm. Yes. In the early groups that we did where I started to, well, even in the early readings, private readings that I would give to people and we would record them, there was this very heavy accent that we couldn't figure out. It was really odd. And one day I was listening to some nature show with some marine biologist, and she had the accent. And I was like, what is that? And it turned out she was Yiddish. So it made sense to me when I closed my eyes and I imagined that I was going up to Einstein, like I did Diana, like, do you want to talk to me? Because I can write it down. And when he started to speak, it was like, there's that accent. That is that accent. It's Yiddish. And since then, I think there's been a homogenization of so many voices that it isn't just Einstein. It's a party. It's a collective voice. Souls come and go. I'm sure even souls I don't even know who are speaking, but it's the collective voice of compassion, basically, kind of led by Einstein.
Well, as you're putting forward in your books and your work, you have something about a conflict revolution and why it's different than conflict resolution. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, this revolutionary way that the angels, you hear the air quote in my voice, that the angels taught us and then that we figured out was really based on the first premise was that if you're involved in a conflict, if you have an emotional engagement in a conflict, the root of your part of it is within you. And for me, who was someone at that time, I wasn't out to be some spiritual leader. I was into rock and roll. So I wasn't very reverent sometimes. And I had a bit of an anger issue and some other problems that I was constantly projecting onto people, and I was victimizing myself. And so the idea that if I was involved in a conflict, which I was often times, that the root was in me, when it came out of my mouth in the group channel, that particular one, I felt like my head sort of whipped around and it was like, what? What are you talking about? What does that mean? What does that look like? Don't just, say that and then, oh. So, there were just so many unbelievable, kind of profound perspectives that were coming out of these angels. And so we took this process that we actually worked. We had conflicts between us, three women. What are the odds? And eventually, it was so actually miraculous, step by step, that I was working one day at a nonprofit in St. Paul. I was freelancing as a graphic designer and then freelancing as in the programs department. And I came across the fact that the programs department and the marketing department had been working for 9 months to get a simple trifold brochure. 9 months. There was so much conflict. So I went to the head, the president, and I said, look, I have this kind of unorthodox way that I've learned this new way to deal with conflict. Would you give me a chance to put it in workshop form as a staff development? So that's how it was born, and we called it conflict revolution. Because two things, because it's really different than conflict resolution. It really has nothing to do with it on its blush. It doesn't. It's quite a different process. And because we revolve our focus not completely off what we see outside ourselves, but we bring it back into us, and that's where this map of human consciousness that Einstein gave us, so that we can figure out where we're conflicted inside us and then deal with it there. And when we do that, a whole different outcome just naturally seems to manifest as of the byproduct of finding this inner peace. And so we call it conflict revolution, and through this journey that I'm telling you, this unfolding and this discovery in my very skeptical pathway, to get to Einstein, it still took me a while to come out of the closet fully, even though I published a book where, yes, I channel Einstein and all those people, Party of 12, the afterlife interviews. But in 2005, I decided to just do a tribute to him because it was the 100-year anniversary of E equals MC squared. So I channeled several groups, and then I edited all winter. I just edited this book. And this was his beginning of his bringing out his unified field theory and his map of human consciousness. And what he was doing was proving, he was giving the scientific, well, first of all, he began the unified field theory he could never do in life and in quantum level. But he was also proving why conflict revolution works on a scientific basis. And he delivered to us a scientific, quantifiable definition of compassion, with a capital C, as the fifth fundamental force of the universe. And so, and trust me, I'm not scientific. I completely dropped out of science in 10th grade. I'm not mathematical, although I can do music. But this was all just me following. It was like building a net. You know, you give me one clue, like go Google black holes and take these three terms and put them in our map, and I do it and just painstakingly have to put together this book. But then here was this brilliant, I thought, very simple, but certainly Einsteinian view of how matter is manifest, how creation is made, and how humans fit in to the manifestation of the universe, because without you there in your chair with your body perceiving and projecting, we still have energy. There's an afterlife, but we don't have that worldview of the physical world. So anyway, it's been a long journey, and it's taken me a long time to put the pieces together, but it's been so consistent, even from the angels, from the beginning, they were setting us up to be able to deliver this information and create this process that's so miraculous and changes so many people's lives in a very practical and grounded way for being so unusual, mystical and sort of wacky and unusual.
Okay, well, listen, on that note, let's take a short break, if we're remembering that it's Friday the 13th around the world, listen, Global Villagers, as we delve into these particulars of Friday the 13th, did you know that every culture fears this date? Every culture. In Spain and Greece, it's Tuesday the 13th that spooks people out. Meanwhile, in Italy, it's Friday the 17th. That's considered unlucky. Isn't it fascinating how cultures differ in what they consider unlucky? History buffs might turn to the page that did you know that the negative connotation of Friday the 13th might have historical roots? Some say it goes back to Friday, October the 13th, 1307, when King Philip the, I guess that would be the fourth of France, arrested hundreds of the Knights Templar. And we know what happened to them. It was not good. He took their money, and I think a lot of them disappeared. We're going to take a short break and be right back with more about Barbara talking to angels here on Friday the 13th. The number to call in to ask her a question is 718-766-4421. We have several people in the queue. We'll get to your calls in a few minutes as we come back for this break and talk more about Barbara Einstein and a whole lot of other party of 12 on the other side that make up her sorority. We'll be right back.
You're invited to embark on your own spiritual journey today by discovering the expansive works and services from Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Elevate your being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit douglasjamescottrell.com. With over a dozen enlightening books and meditative audio downloads to help guide you through life's complexities. Delve deep into the mysteries of human consciousness, the future, and the spiritual realm. As the author of Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and more, Douglas opens the doors to realms most people only dream of visiting. The writings of Dr. Douglas James Cottrell are based on his unique ability to visit the Akashic Field, where all knowledge since the dawn of man is stored. You can read about the predictions, many of which have already come true, and planetary changes, health remedies, human growth are all written. Go to douglasjamescottrell.com and view the selections of books and MP3 audio available now. That's DouglasJamesCottrell.com. For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic Field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at the New Age Health Guide. On sale now at douglasjamescottrell.com. Welcome back to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley, with tonight's special guest, Barbara Whiff, an international peace activist, award-winning author, inspirational speaker, composer, and co-founder of Conflict Resolution, helping to resolve conflicts of the psyche. Based on her work channeling Albert Einstein, Barbara is a metaphysics specialist, having authored 6 books on the topic, and she lectures on her Einstein Unified Field Theory and maps of human consciousness and the science of compassion. We're taking your phone calls at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's our Global Village host,
Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And welcome back, my friends. Thank you for allowing us to come into your living rooms and into your hearts. We have an exciting guest here tonight, Barbara Wythe. And as you just heard from our producer, Paul Hughes, this lady has some amazing abilities. Just before the break, you were talking about the party of 12 and also about Albert. You were talking about maybe speaking in an accent. Has some of that scientific theory rubbed off on you, Barbara? You know, are you getting around the MC squared, MC cubed or whatever?
It really has. And it's become such a part of my daily life, actually, because conflict revolution is kind of a worldview. It's like a daily worldview, a completely different way of relating to the world around me than I grew up and knew. And it's all based on this, not just the revolutionary process of resolving conflict or revolution, but when you see the maps of human consciousness, when you see the unified field theory built and the map is done, and I can show you everything on this map. It's even if you didn't think it was Einstein, it's worthy of Einstein. And as I trained it, I've trained it around the world and would construct, you know, from nothing into everything. And then people would just gather around the map and just kind of stare at it and say, oh, okay, so this is where, you know, whatever, the Rainbow Bridge, right, that goes into afterlife, whatever. So that's where this would be. It's like, yep, that you can see it on the map. So it really is the map of everything. And, I'm kind of gobsmacked by it every day still.
Well, it must be a fascinating life living with in a place. Understand your island is in Lake Superior and it has a special vibration or resonance. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. Maybe that helps the these beings who have lived in conflict. I mean, I was thinking just as you were talking there, Albert was around at the time of, and I mean no disrespect calling him by his first name, but he was around when the atom bomb was born and brought into the world. And he wrote some information. I remember he regretted that it was brought into the world. The atomic age was ushered in with such humongous destruction capabilities and probabilities. So do you think that's why maybe he's coming to a serene place where you are now in Lake Superior?
You know, I hadn't thought of it specifically that way, but I think you're right, because this island is 13 miles long and 3 miles wide, and there is no traffic noise. I mean, there is during the day, but there is no. It's so quiet and peaceful and serene, and it certainly helped me ground when this information is taxed my own mental health. And I also think that there's so many souls in afterlife who I learn as I go that were in real life these peacemakers. You know, he in 1932, the League of Nations, as a way to bring the world back together, decided to do this program where they'd ask great minds of the world to foster intellectual conversation after World War One and things were kind of torn apart. And the first person they asked was Einstein. And they were going to publish whatever he was going to say. And he decided to have conversation with Freud. Now, I didn't know any of this until a short time ago. But one of the things that he said, he wrote this letter to Freud, and his question was, how do we end war? And Freud wrote back and said they had a brief conversation about a one-world government, quickly decided that that was too dangerous considering the nature of humans. And so Freud ended up having these sort of informal, he called them something like informal suggestions as how to end war. The first thing was to nurture hungry, open minds that really seek the truth. The second thing was to create community so that your hearts are attached. And the third thing was to tell it like it is, to tell the world what exactly is going to happen if you have a war. And this was before nuclear weapons. This was before that movement in 1932. And so his last statement, Einstein's, was the Russell Einstein Manifesto. It was read after he died on July 9th, 1955. And basically it was that, what Freud had suggested. It was him and nine other scientists begging the world leaders, begging everyone in the world to keep these open minds and have a heartfelt community, because the next world war will be the end of us. And then he goes on to describe in great detail what would happen if we waged a war with nuclear weapons and hydrogen bombs. This is 1955 now, so you can imagine how many more weapons we have than we did then. And this was what he died with in his soul, that he had maybe helped contribute to this incredible possible destruction. So why else would he not want to, in afterlife, once he got there, turn around and organize like he only Einstein could and figure it all out and get it, find somebody. And I don't know why it's me and my associates, but here we are. We volunteered and we're chosen. And all I ever wanted to be was a rock star, but I'm pretty okay with having diverged to this mission. But, yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense to me. And every time somebody adds to the party and I find out who they were in real life, like, you know, Marilyn Monroe, who is a part of the original Party of 12 book, Norma Jean Baker, I didn't know she was a peace activist. She was a peace activist. So it's just fascinating. It's completely fascinating how this happens.
Well, I find it amazing that they're still attached, that these people have come into the world. They've achieved great stardom. They've accomplished many things in the world. And now they seem like they're not resting in peace, so to speak. They're coming back to help a little further. Is there an overall impetus as to why they're doing this at this time?
Well, I think that interviewed Nicole Brown Simpson, that's when I learned that people don't just die and go into afterlife and there's this big peace that happens, because that was my idea. It was like, oh, heck no, not when you've left your kids behind with the father that killed you. You know, there is certainly emotional, spiritual attachments to, deep attachments to having left in that way. You know, there's a reason why the Buddhists study and study and study and study and study like they do, because then when they get to death, they're not attached to anything. So when you're attached, like Einstein was attached to he never got the unified field theory and what's going to happen to the world. And Nicole Brown Simpson was attached to her kids. And I think that these people who really were such peace activists in real life, not only does Einstein explain to us basically that once you die, there's really nowhere to go. It's not like you can like let go towards the light, but there's such a structure of eternal life that goes on that there's more consciousness there and there's really nowhere for him to go. So everybody's in the party, basically. But this is a time where they are needed. I mean, the Russell Einstein Manifesto, he could have been talking about today, right now. And it's just stunning how time flies when there's this threat. And their love for the earth and their love for humanity, and this idea that the those on the other side of the veil and those of us still in the bodies are going to be sort of on equal ground, right? The rising up of everyone in this way. So they're a part of that, I think, too.
Well, you know, we have people standing by in the queue, and I think it's time. They've been waiting very patiently. Maybe, Paul, we should take a few callers at this point in time. Okay.
While we're waiting, I can ask, I'd like to make some comments, if you don't mind.
Just a second. Just a second, Doug. We got the mic open here. We're in the 310 area code. If you've got a call, a question for Barbara, go ahead. Can I have your name
yes,
and where
do.
You're calling from?
Oh, yeah. Douglas, this is Vince calling. Actually, I'm calling from New York.
Okay, Vince,
so,
you got a question for Barbara?
Yeah, Barbara, I wish I had my own show because I could talk to you for a couple of hours on this and just get into your head and find out what you know and the things going on and everything. But I have a question for myself right now. Is I got laid off from my job about a month ago because I was seasonal, and I've been looking for work, and every time I think I'm going to get something, they email me saying we went with another candidate. I was supposed to hear from Ocean's Break today. Because I have a job interview with them on Monday. Haven't heard from them. I got turned down from a job for a railroad company. I'm supposed to start a job on the 26th doing, working with, wiring like above and underground and everything for cables and everything, but it's not what I want, but I'm taking it just to have something. But I'm just wondering if there's going to be a decent paying job coming my way like real soon that I'm really going to be happy with, that I'm going to like.
Yes, I see that for you, that there's this period of time where taking something just right now to have that stability and that grounding in some very basic ways that you need right now. And don't be discouraged, but it comes when you don't expect it. And it seems like it comes from somewhere, not that you should stop looking and stop pursuing it, because that sets that intention that you're looking, that you're creating and pulling to you. But anticipate, too, that it can happen from out of the blue. And I understand that when we're in those positions where it's really important and we are attached to the need, it is a need, but still to be able to let go and set that intention and continue on forward in that intention, following your intuition, you're going to find, I feel strongly it's a two-part thing. You're taking something that isn't going to be exactly what it is that you want with the very strong intention that you're building your way to that next thing. And, boy, I've been there.
Okay. Do you know how long it'll be before that one comes?
Oh, time is not our forte. But
okay.
Well, there you go, Vince. You know, so Vince is going to have some good luck in a little bit, further down
I
the line.
I hope so. I'll take your word for it. So, all right. Well, thanks, Barbara. And again, I really wish I had time with you myself because you're so amazing. You really are. And I'm not going to ask about what's going to go on with Trump or any political stuff tonight. Okay.
Yeah, we don't talk politics here, but there's a point, Barbara. How can people get a hold of you if they wanted to partake of your services?
Well, you could go to barbarawith.com, and I have all my readings, all the information for how to have a reading are there, and also. I have another website, SynergyAlliance.llc, Synergy, Synergy, Alliance, Alliance, dot LLC. And there you can see all things Einstein, all the classes that I have coming up. I've got some live events that I'm starting to do again. It's been quite a long time since I've done live events, but they're starting to come in on this world peace tour that I'm doing to get us talking about peace and conflict resolution and how this peace starts within us and how we can go from being kind of victimized by the circumstances of life to where we can master what is ours to control and thereby a pathway to global peace as well. So anyway, yeah, that's where I am.
Okay. There you go, Vince. You can listen to the show in the archive version again tomorrow if you didn't get that. But for everybody else, how can they get to your website one more time, Barbara?
Barbara Wyth, BarbaraWith.com. Barbara Wyth.
And there's the starting point. Good luck, Vince. Paul, we're going to another caller now. Mike. Hello, you're on the
air.
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Kate. Good evening.
And
hi.
Where are you calling from?
Florida.
Okay. Do you have a question for Barbara?
I do. Barbara, please message me with what is intended for my highest and best good now.
In terms of the immediate highest and best good is all about your self-love. And while you might think that it's about a particular activity or finding a passion and an expression that's uniquely you, and those things are very important and fulfilling, but really on a very practical, everyday level, and that's how we reduce things to this very root level. It's every day about us being given a platform to learn compassion and learn how to love ourselves. So in that sense, and it goes back to Vince a bit as well before you, that it's, of course, you want to be doing and working and engaged in an activity or a job or a career that aligns with your passions, but your highest good is really about how you use love, first for yourself and then the challenges in the world. And in that sense, you're doing an excellent job of striving, of being, of choosing to seek love, starting with yourself. But as far as those activities, we think that something that engages you on that sacred spiritual level is your highest good. So it may not be a job that we're specifically saying, but it's a condition that you treat yourself to or that you bring yourself into. And that's really the most important activity for all of us.
Oh, Barbara, thank you so much for that. Compassion comes easy for me. For everyone else, it has been a journey putting compassion first in my love of self.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. That was just so loving, Barbara.
Yes. Yes. Well, good, good goodness for you.
Do you have any hints on how
also.
This? Do you have this any hints on how this lady can actually apply this self-love to herself, Barbara? I think she's so compassionate that she's kind of, standing in a puddle and wondering why her feet are wet when she's looking up at the sky. If I could use that analogy.
Yes, well, there are very simple strategies, very basic ideas. And one is that around you, there are what we call the voices of culture. So the voices of culture are the magazine ads that show the young, thin women. The voices of culture are the voices of organized religion telling you you should be one way or the other. And those voices of culture get programmed in our intellectual thinking. And so without even knowing it, maybe you might say, be looking at a magazine and seeing a young, thin woman that, and you might be hearing a voice in your head saying, you don't measure up to that because you're not young and thin. And those voices, they were programmed there, but they're actually in our thinking process. So the way we apply compassion to ourselves is we recognize that within ourselves, this is that conflicts are rooted within us. If we revolve around, we see that voice of culture that says, you're too old or you're too fat, but we bring it back to us where we hear it in our head, and then we can change it. And then we can actually say to ourselves when we own it, that we're telling ourselves we're not good enough, we're not smart enough. Wait, we can start to stand up for ourselves and say, wait a minute, I'm a really compassionate person. And start to give ourselves those things that we need that we're always waiting for someone else to come and affirm to us. And the other part, I just quickly want to say this, is that so many times in this map of human the maps of human dimensions, we have intellect, intuition, and emotion, and they work separately. They're like organs. Like your heart does one thing, your stomach does another. You take care of those organs differently, and yet they all have to work together to do the job. And so when we sometimes we're thinking, and we convince ourselves that we're actually feeling. When we're just thinking. Now, we might have feelings behind it, but that's an intellectual activity. And a feeling is actually, if I could train the world to feel, it would be through breath work, not through thinking, not through analyzing why we think we feel this way. You know, you could be feeling feelings that you suppressed as a child or something from a past life or something from the earth, because we're all of the earth. There's so many reasons and things, but to really feel it and move it requires us to separate it from our thinking. And I want to encourage your listeners to try this sometime. When you get into an emotional place, whether you're feeling shamed or you're angry, or to just stop and go, wait a minute, I'm going to think about what Barbara said, is that really to feel and process emotion and gain from it, it's about stepping back and being conscientious and taking a breath without letting it project onto your cousin or your mother or whoever made you mad or you think made you feel bad, and just feel it and honor it and move it like an energy through your body. It really, that small step changes a lot inside yourself. You can detach from those voices of culture and start to replace them with that, those kind of high-level, super-conscious thinking that we all know is true about compassion and love and oneness, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Barbara, this lady might want to call you and get in contact with you. What's your website contact information again?
Oh, Barbara With, B-A-R-B. A-R-A-W-I-T-H, BarbaraWith.com. Yeah, reach out.
So, there you go. So I hope you enjoyed that answer to that question. I think you got a gigantic answer there. What do you think?
I felt seen and heard, and I see and hear both of you. Thank you.
There you go. Friday the 13th is a lucky day for you.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay, my good friend co-host Doug Bentley was going to jump in just a few moments ago. Maybe, Doug, you want to pop in here. Thank you very much for your call, and thanks for being part of the show.
Thank you.
I just want to make a couple of quick comments. I agree with you. I've said on pretty well everything you said. And with reference to why these people would want to come back, want to help, it's my belief and my understanding that evolved souls, evolved spirits, are just so anxious to help us. They're just, I would excuse the phrase, dying to help us. In fact, they died, so they can't help us this way. So to me, that's all the answer that's needed, because they are so anxious to help us, because they experience this life and they know its challenges and difficulties and fears and triumphs, and they are anxious to do whatever they can to help. And another comment that you made, you somewhat disparaged your mathematical ability. Well, I would disagree with that, because Beethoven knew only rudimentary math, yet he wrote magnificent, complex and beautiful music. So,
yes, that's where my mathematical skills
and music is extremely mathematical, not in the arithmetic sense, but in the musical sense.
Yes, and you know, when I first spontaneously automatic writing, and I said, "Well, who are you?" And the answer was, we are sound.
Mm.
And for a girl who had been going out in outer space and listening to songs that were already written and bringing them back and transcribing them into actual music, that wasn't too big of a stretch to me. But, yeah, he was very, very musical.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, so many of the great creators, they spoke of, they would say, how can you write such beautiful music or beautiful literature or beautiful art? And they don't know. It just comes to them.
They're channeling, of course.
They're channeling, certainly they are, yes.
Just like
and
Barbara.
And I heard Brian Greene, he's a physicist who really brought forth string theory. I heard him once describe how he did math, and while I couldn't tell you exactly what he said, I thought, you were channeling, because he was like, I just got into the zone, and I get out of the way, and I hear the numbers, and so, yeah, I think we all channel. And if I could show you the whole unified field theory, you would see that not only are we all channeling our own lives into reality, but when you go back to why do these people want to come back and help us, also because according to Einstein, the source is in the center of the Earth, and there's a gravitational wave that goes from the source up to the surface of the Earth and creates the lens of our physical existence. So we're literally a part of the Earth. And that love and compassion that we have for the planet is not just on the surface. It's the whole from the center to the surface and back around again.
Well said. Okay, we have lots of people in the queue here. Thank you very much, Doug, for those comments and observations, and for a lovely response, Barbara. Paul, we're going to a few more callers here. Who do we have next in the queue? Hello, you're on the air. Surprise.
Hello.
Yeah, turn the computer
Hi.
Down. Your first name and where are you calling from, please?
Hi, it's Catherine from New York.
A little closer to the microphone.
It's Catherine from New York.
Oh, my goodness.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Thank you for...
Do you have a question for Barbara? Go ahead.
Yes. I have a work question, please. I have this project that I would like to get started. It starts with the letter F, like Frank. And I was wondering if I should do it here in the States or abroad.
I'm sensing that you should do it here. It seems to be a timing thing that it doesn't have to get done, but it's in progress, but it just seems like here is logistically going to be a better place.
Been trying to time it, and like something always happens, interferes, but I guess just trust in divine right timing, right?
A little closer
yes,
to the
absolutely.
Microphone, please. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely trust in that divine timing, and let, I don't know if you heard my little talk about the voices of culture, but there's ways to wrestle that doubt because you've got these doubts. You've got this brilliant vision, but then you have these doubts behind it. So, you know, feel and breathe through any of that trepidation or the doubt or whatever that emotion is and be with it, love it, move it while you're intending to see that vision of that manifestation of what you're doing. And that's why you have it right now. It's a platform, not just for exactly what you're doing, but on a higher sort of esoteric level, it's giving you this opportunity to evolve and grow into this next stage person that you want to be. Funny about life does that. Life is
yes.
that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
You bet.
God bless you, and God bless Dr. Cottrell and all of you there. Thank you. God bless.
Okay, you're very
God
welcome.
Bless
Thanks
you.
For being part of the show.
Thank you much.
Okay, Paul, we have another caller. Okay, well, microphones are in slow motion tonight, Barbara. Paul's doing
That's
his best.
Okay. It's Friday the
Hello.
13th.
Yes.
Hello, welcome to the show. May I have your first name and where you're calling from, please?
Carol from Chicago.
Hello, Carol.
Yes,
hi, Carol.
I want to ask Barbara, did Einstein ever give any credit, did he ever tell you that he gave any credit to any females for any of his work? But it seems like he's doing it now through you.
Yes, and he did, in fact, I wouldn't say confess, but, and I don't think it's a secret that Mileva was a major, major part of the work that he did and strengthening his mathematics of his, he was very strong, you know, in thought experiments. He was super strong, and not that he didn't obviously have mathematical skills, but he really relied on her so much more than, right, with his work. They don't immediately think of her, but we should probably.
But did he ever give her credit for it? In other words, did he ever say in his papers? Did he ever say it to the press?
Yes. She actually got, because of her work, she got his Nobel Prize money.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
And, go.
Oh, no, just thanks for recognizing that he's working through a woman, yeah.
Yes. Because I know a lot of women... At that time, you know, like Rosalind Franklin, they got, you know, they They were just in the background so much. They weren't mentioned very much, except, you know, after they died.
Yeah.
So I wonder. But it's very nice that he's working through you. They're coming to you. Now, I have another question. Is there any messages from my loved ones that have passed on? That want to say something to me or...
Well, I get the sense that there's a really tight clan of ancestors that you have, and that it's a multi-life connection. And I don't get any specific thing that jumps out as much as higher presence of a very well-connected and deeply loving. Not always that in physical life everything was rosy, but that there's a really deep connections with your loved ones who are with you always.
And I got one last question. Let's say that you were interviewing psychics, remote viewers, channelers. What title comes to your mind for a book? For the name of a book.
She had six books already, Carol. You were looking for a book, the book to help Carol actually do these interviews. Barbara has about six books already.
Right.
So
I don't
what
know.
Title, if Carol was doing these interviews, which she is, and she was going to write a book, which she is, and she's leaning on you to give from the ethers some title for her book, which she is, what would you see as a title for Carol? Carol, this is a lovely lady who is a friend of the show. She's on almost every show we have. What does the ethers, the sorority on the other side, what kind of title could they help this lady who might be, who is writing a book on channelers and psychics, etc.?
I see a one-word title, remote, and then a tagline that sort of six or seven words that briefly, you know, channels, psychics, and those who see far, or, you know, something that doesn't just say remote viewing. But I love remote because if you look it up in the dictionary, I bet there's a really interesting, I'm a big dictionary fan, and I bet there's some really interesting meanings to it as well.
Yeah, because I was going, you know, funny that you said that. I have an appointment with a remote viewer, Stephen Swartz, Thursday. And a title came to my mind. It had remote viewing, psychic, channelers, oh my. I don't know what I was thinking about that day.
Oh, there you go. That's pretty close, Barbara. Very good.
Yeah, like remote, and then like the tagline is viewing psychic channelers and something like that. But, and do you have a publisher? Or are you going to publish it yourself?
Well, I don't have a publisher right now, but I got some advice from various people, so I don't have a publisher right now.
Well,
so Barbara,
I have...
Oh, sorry.
Yes. No, I was going to tell, I have another book that you might want to look at. If you go to Guerrilla-Publishing, Guerrilla like G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, Guerrilla, not Gorilla, Guerrilla, Guerrilla-Publishing, because I created a system, and with it, this is what my whole system is, that my seven books, a very simple self-publishing system where you get 100% of the profits. So,
all right.
You might
And Barbara, don't be surprised if you get a invitation to an interview.
Oh, I'd love to. I would love to.
Okay, well, what, last question, Barbara. Now, what are your
last question for sure?
Because I missed it because I was daydreaming and I missed some minutes of the show. What is your psychic abilities? Are they, you have the class system, you have the class senses, a channeler. It's no need for you to remote view because you have other abilities.
Well, I'm not sure how I do it remote viewing. I have a very dear friend who worked for the CIA and did remote viewing, and she was just a phenom. But I don't do that really. And I think I'm like Einstein in that, you know, Einstein could tell you the secrets of the universe, E equals MC squared, but he could forget to brush his hair. You know, so I channel, and there's this really express mission and information that we're here, all of us, to get out, but we don't do a lot of what's going to happen next week or is your boyfriend coming back, that kind of stuff. So I don't know what to call it.
Okay. We got to go. We've got a lot of people in the queue. So thank you very much, Carol, for popping in. And it's BarbaraWith.com.
I'm going to contact her.
Yeah, Thanks, Carol. I'll look forward to it.
Okay, there we go. And by the way, I hope you get the email that we send out to everybody. Go to my website, DouglasJamesCottrell.com, and sign up for emails to the Global Village International Radio Show, plus our Zoom podcast, which is the Douglas James Cottrell Show on YouTube, and also to the Wake Up podcast. They're very well received. Barbara will be showing up there very soon in the archive version of tonight's show. She's there tomorrow, and we'll have her here on the Zoom interview coming up in a week or two. So, Paul, we're on. We have a lot of people in the queue. I'm just going to remind everybody, when you call in, don't forget to press the number one button so that there's a little hand that pops up, and that lets us know that you want to ask our guest a question. Otherwise, there's people on the 773, Skype call, 914. We have the 773 again, the 804, the 570, the 707, and then it goes off the screen. You don't have your hands up, so we're not sure if you're listening or if you want to ask a question. You could call back and put your hand up, or Paul's going to take care of you somehow. Let's take a short break. We'll grab a glass of water. Barbara, you've been talking for a while. We'll be right back after this short break. More with Barbara Witt, author, publisher, psychic channel, composer, and performer.
We're so glad you tuned in tonight to the Global Village Radio Show with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. We'll be back in just a few moments. One of the most poignant topics of discussion in today's world is the evidence of earthly changes and what began as what the media called global warming. Did you know our Global Village host wrote the most detailed predictive book about the future of our planet? The New Earth is a book that drills down to specific events, many of which have already come true, but much more than severe weather patterns, seismic eruptions. The New Earth tells us how to prepare and understand how societies and governments will be forced to accommodate these future events. Originally published as The New Renaissance, the updated manuscript is one of Dr. Douglas Cottrell's best-selling books. Pole Shift, Coastal and Inland Changes, Volcanoes and Earthquakes, Rising Temperatures, Specific Landmass Changes, Healing Our Emotional Health During These Changes, and so much more. Go to DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com. That's DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com for immediate access to your printed copy of The New Earth.
Getting beaten up in life? Reading Conversations with the Akashic Field by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell coaches you through methods of battling fear and self-doubt to gain the spiritual strength you need for defense and stamina. Tapping into an ever-present source to help you win today. Visit DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon today for Conversations with the Akashic Field.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up Podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
Welcome back to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. With tonight's special guest, Barbara Whiff, an international peace activist, award-winning author, inspirational speaker, composer, and co-founder of Conflict Resolution, helping to resolve conflicts of the psyche. Based on her work channeling Albert Einstein, Barbara is a metaphysics specialist, having authored 6 books on the topic, and she lectures on her Einstein Unified Field Theory and maps of human consciousness and the science of compassion. We're taking your phone calls at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's our Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And we're back. I'm enjoying this interview with our newest friend, Barbara Whiff, who is talking to you, my friends, about this unique ability to channel famous people, and including Albert Einstein, which I find it absolutely amazing. And as our good friend Carol in Chicago asked, is this man from a man's world? Back in the World War II days kind of thing, it was there a woman's influence in helping him? And Barbara said yes. And now here's Barbara channeling Mr. Einstein. So tonight we have a lot of people in the queue. We've got one more person, I think, had their hand up there for a second. And that is to say the symbol to ask questions. And we've got a whole bunch of you guys just hanging out there. The village folks are listening to the show here in the queue. So, Paul, are we going to roll the dice and kind of see who wants to ask Barbara a question next? Okay.
Hello?
Yep. Hello, you're on the air. May your first name, where are you calling from, please?
My name is Barbara, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Welcome to the show, Barbara. Do you have a question for
Hi.
Our guest?
I do. I have some serious illness right now. And I do have affinity to connect with, they come animals, horses, dogs, insects, birds are all, to me, symbolic. But I keep getting the feeling of the ascended masters, the angels, and I wonder if you have, and when you mentioned automatic writing, that kind of struck a chord with me in addition to seeing a praying mantis outside my back door today, which is also about being still and meditating. So would the automatic writing or what would help me connect as deeply as I do with the dog animal and insect world for restorative empathic communicative way within the universe?
Well, the automatic writing could be one part of it to get your intellect and your mind. It's almost like you have to simultaneously focus and then let go at the same time, because you've got some pretty deep concerns, of personal concerns that are weighing in there. And so you sort of have to move through them and kind of get out of the way.
Just a second, Barbara.
One way.
Barbara, just a second. The caller, you might be breathing in the microphone very loudly.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, there we go. That's better. You're just sending Paul through the to the. Anyway, he's pulling his hair out by the roots here. So, okay, thank you, Barbara. That's just intuition. Go ahead, Barbara. Go ahead.
Okay, so two different things. One is with the automatic writing, the way that I learned when I first was doing it is that I would ask the question, and then I would just write. And sometimes I'd have to read through it and see what really afterwards resonated like something deep and profound that maybe even surprised me, and then what resonated as might have been my ego, you know, getting in and wanting to form things. And so it was really a self-discovery process. And you can do that same kind of practice if you'd like, but also because you are so attuned to the animals, have you had any equine stuff? Because it seems like that would be a really good way to reflect, you know, if you work with the horses, they really reflect what's going on inside you too, to be able to learn how to listen to those messages inside you.
Yeah, I've done healing touch and also Reiki. But I haven't had a chance recently or for a bit yet because of health concerns to be in contact with them physically. Could I do it telepathically? Yeah. But it's just not the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah, it's just not the same. But so you're saying that would have to be something that I have to make sure that I'm in the presence then of the, because you're absolutely correct. Yeah, there's a telepathic communication that goes on. They mirror you, they mirror back to you what you mirror them.
Right, right.
Yep.
But you're not in a position to get out to be near a horse?
Yeah, not at this moment right now, no. Yeah, it's tough. Because it would make such a difference.
Well, never say never.
I agree with that.
Because I understand, but I also know that there's ways, you know, so never say never.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? What makes you enthusiastic?
The animals just lighten my spirit. They just lighten to be able to communicate with them and feel their intrinsic value and their love, their unconditional love, and their joy. They're just joy of being alive and being here and being in the now and present is spectacular to me.
Why don't you become an animal whisperer? You know what that is?
Well, sometimes I think I am.
Well, yes. I think, Barbara, what do you think? I think she's a natural for it. Maybe you could tell her how to become one or give her some hints.
Well, I think the obstacle of your limitation is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Your heart is open to it. And yet, you know, it's kind of a two-way street where you get from the animal and the animal gets from you. So if there were any sort of opportunity to have someone bring to you or get you to, I'm taking it that you have a limited ability to travel or move.
Yeah, well, sometimes that is hard indoor too because of the their own size.
right.
Yeah. You know, and the limitation of being able to move quick enough. I guess I was on the other side of the fence of the corral. Yeah, you know, but
yeah.
to be, it's not the same, and they know it's not the same. I mean, you know. It's kind of cumbersome, I guess. It's not as free as just as human space. You know, you can be closer and you can pick other people's energy up. The same comes on with the horses, you know. Dogs I can do easily with, you know, that's easier, but something with the horses is, I love the dogs, don't get me wrong, but the horses are healing.
In a totally
different way I can't even explain. Anybody that has horses, I think Dr. Cottrell said he had horses, knows the difference.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow there were horses in your future, but...
I hope you see them. Plant that seed, please.
Yeah, I see that. And you know how they are, is that whatever the situation is, whatever side of the fence you're on, you know, they're going to be there with you.
Mhm. And I'll be able to chit-chat with them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to definitely also get in contact with you because I like what you have to say and the guidance that you have received. I think would be quite profound if you could share.
Yeah, it really is. I'm so humbled and honored to have this gift and to be able to share it with people. It is profound. So yeah, BarbaraWith.com. Look me up.
Yeah, I definitely will, because that's how I feel about the animals, you know. I can connect to them on such a different level that it just brings such joy, you know, and like anybody that's really into their craft, you just kind of forget about everything else and it's just magical. It's just, you're engrossed and it's when you're doing something you love, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, you
okay,
bet.
Thank you, Barbara, for being on the show tonight. And we're going to ask Barbara Witt to stick around a little longer, if she will. We have a few more callers waiting in the queue. So we'll extend the show a little bit tonight if you have a mind to stay by, Barbara.
Absolutely.
Okay. Paul's doing a good job making the queue work and the switchboard. Where are we going next, Paul?
Hello.
Hi.
Doctor.
Yeah, you look like a Skype call. You're on the show, on the air right now. First name and where you're calling from, please.
I'm Melvin, and I'm calling from New York City.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Very interesting in what you've got to say in terms of conflict resolution. I just hope more people put it to good use on the powers that be front in the next number of months so that we can right the ship and start moving forward. I'm currently job hunting right now, and I'm wondering if I will successfully find a contract work by Christmas or before then.
My first sensation is yes, you will. It might be a little, if you're talking about a ship, interestingly enough, it might be in a little slightly, just a hair slightly different direction than you're thinking that you're going. But all in all, it will encompass what you're looking for and what you need.
Okay. And I was also thinking of perhaps trying to set up my own business on the side more next year. Do you think that would work out for me? Would it take me a few years to get that up and going whilst working, obviously, in a contractual basis?
Yes, if you take it incrementally because of time constraints and not wanting to stress yourself, but you have a passion and a direction that you want to go that really does need some attention, and it's a good idea to balance them off in the beginning, to have both. But just be conscientious that you don't drain yourself. But
okay.
But definitely move ahead with that, and don't be concerned if it's a slow thing. If it's not just jumping out of the gate, you're building.
Mm-hmm. I have to incrementally build and add other skill sets to it as well. And I like to be a planner, but I think in this case I have to learn to be more iterative in terms of the marketplace before it'll really take off, because I think I want to meld certain things together that haven't been done before, and the market isn't quite there yet, but I think people are opening up to the concepts. So
yes, that's why we say not to be so concerned about the slower pace, because you're you know, sometimes speed, you drag your feet because there's other universe timing going on. It has nothing to do with if you're right or wrong. But like you said, you sink in with how culture is changing too.
Okay. Thank you very much for that encouragement. I kind of, because I've dropped the ball a few times, and now I'll continue doing it in an incremental way as you suggested. And I will continue to be gainfully employed until I really truly get it off the ground.
Yes.
Oh, super.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Okay, thank
all
you
right
for being
in. Good luck to you.
And thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, we have a couple more callers left here, Barbara. So, Paul,
great.
We have something in 914 and the 804 and the 570. Hope I can hear myself talking.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. You're on the air.
Hi.
Do you have a question for Barbara?
You see, I'm going to find the ring.
Did you hear that, Barbara? She says Mary from New York.
I didn't.
Hello?
I did not.
Okay, we have a
we have
some reverberation. Mary was asking you, Barbara, about seeing if you could find a ring for her, I believe.
Oh, finding rings. Not really my forte. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You can give a message to the other side. Hello?
Say that again, Mary. Very slowly. Say it again.
You can give me a message to the other side.
I don't quite understand.
My husband had passed away. You can give me a message to the other side.
Our husband passed away. Is he okay on the other side, I believe, is Mary's question.
Oh, is he okay on the other side? It seems to me that he's been resting. He's been, when he let go and walked on, there's been quite a time of just being at rest. Do you sense him?
Yes.
Yes, he's there. He's there in the same place that he's been in his spirit, even though his body's not there. Very steadfast and very close to you.
I see.
Yeah.
Guess what something has. You see me, so I'm going to go at the end of this month in Italy on the beginning of November.
Douglas,
I think the question is, do you see Mary in Italy somewhat in the fall?
So I'm going to go at the end of the month on the beginning of the month.
Okay, end of the month or the beginning of the month. There you go. Okay.
The end of the month.
The end of the month. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay.
God bless. Thank you.
Okay. Bon voyage, as they say. Okay. Thank you, Mary, for being part of the show.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Mary. You're very, very welcome. Thank you. Okay. We're waiting for Paul to maybe select somebody else here. We'll go another 10 minutes or so, if that's okay with you. We're going to the 804 now. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Vernell Carter. I live in Virginia. I talked to you before about my cat, Lucy.
Okay.
Yes.
Want to ask Barbara a question? Go ahead.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Barbara. My cat Lucy, she's been sick for a while, and I talked to her like I talked to Dr. Cottrell, like I had mentioned before, she's, from what I was told, she's going to be around for a while longer, but she lately all of a sudden she seemed to be speeding around, meowing in the daytime, but mostly at night, she does it a lot. And, I mean, I don't know if she might be seeing a presence that might be scaring her or if it's the way she feels. And if there's something I should buy for her that might help her. Also, if you will, I'll be watching this live YouTube video at another beach location, Venice Beach in California. And I happen to notice that seem like a lot of mentally ill people be walking that beach. And one of them in particular is this, it was this tall African-American guy. I seen him earlier this year. I used to see him sleeping out in the rain on the blue tarp, and that was back in February of this year. And now all of a sudden he's not being seen, and I'm hoping that he's all right. I was wondering if he might have moved to another location or if he's maybe still of this world. I hope he is anyway.
Well, as far as your cat, what is your cat's name?
Her name is Lucy.
Lucy. What we sense is that she's going through this healing, and it's been a little difficult, but the process is opening her, and think of when you're not feeling well, and you're just staying in bed and you're sleeping and off and on and kind of in that otherworldly space.
Mm-hmm.
That's where she is. And so you are correct in that she has sort of expanded her vision, and part of it is in that state of not being well, and part of it is just her own little evolution of who she is, and it's nothing to worry about, and we feel like it, like you say, this is something that she's going to be around for a little while longer, but it's that, think about what you would want if you were in that state, is just mm-hmm. that enveloping her in your psychic, spiritual, calm, grounded love. It can be a
okay.
mental process as well as a physical one. And as far as your friend in California, is it California?
I mean, he's not really a friend. I don't really know him. I watch the live video every day. And I've been watching it for a while, and I've been observing the way people act out there, and there's certain ones that, you know, that I keep seeing showing up all the time. And all of a sudden I haven't seen that person, and I'm wondering if he's all right and if he might have went someplace else and, you know, maybe be with family again. I'm just out of concern. I'm just concerned because I'm a parent of an autistic son, and he's an adult in his early 30s, and he makes me think of him, and it seems like he might be mentally challenged too, along with a lot of other people I notice out there, and I'm just hoping that he's safe and well, and maybe back with his family or someone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we call him your friend because you care.
Oh, yeah.
You care
okay.
about him without even having met him. And we
yeah.
don't necessarily see that he's back with his family, but we do see that he's shifted to a different place that for him is a little bit safer right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Thank you for being part of the show. We have to go. We just got a couple more callers to go in a little bit of time. So thank you and good luck.
Okay.
Hope Lucy is feeling better. Okay. Thank you. Paul, looks like we're going to go to the 707 next. We have a hand up there. We're going to the 570 next. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Ah, you're on the air. Okay. Sorry we missed you. Guess we're going to go to the 707 now.
Hello?
This will be the last call. Hi, you're on the air. First name, where are you calling
Hi.
From, please?
Valerie, California.
Welcome
Hi, Valerie.
To the show, Valerie.
Hi, Barbara. I want to see if I'll be working either probably next month, part-time. And healthcare, medical fields?
We do see that you will be. It might be a little farther away than you want or anticipate as far as distance. But other than that, it's going to be just what you're looking for.
Okay. Is it over an hour's drive, you think, or somewhere I worked before?
Yeah, it's close like that. I mean, it's close to an hour.
But it's a new place? I have not worked there before?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and will I like it? Will it go fine? Because I haven't performed that job in some years.
Well, it's it will go fine, but like every job, you know, it'll require that you're on your toes. And but once you get into the stride of it,
yeah,
you'll fall right back in. You'll fall right back in.
Okay, beautiful. You see it around maybe 20 hours a week? Because that drive is kind of long.
Yeah, or more.
Okay. And is it in a clinic setting? I prefer clinic over hospital.
Maybe. I don't know. It looks like there's... I don't know. I'm leaning more towards hospital.
Whatever comes up, grab it.
Yeah.
Let the universe direct you. No worries.
Absolutely. You see that for next month, Chip, in November of this year?
Yeah, sometime toward the end of November.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Okay, well, you're very welcome, and thank you all the way from California to the East Coast to a small place on Lake Superior. Barbara, I believe you're there on an island surrounded by darkness and quiet tonight in a beautiful spiritual place.
Yes. It's just been so great to chat with people.
Well, yes, we want to thank all our listeners from wherever they are that, wow, it's been a wild ride tonight, my fellow Global Villagers. We've been discussing all sorts of topics and personal stories and your unique traditions. So it's been nothing short of a cultural roller coaster. But remember, the journey doesn't end when we sign off tonight. In fact, it's just a brief stop on your ongoing adventure to explore the fascinating complexities of our world. So as we close for tonight, don't forget the beauty of being part of this global village is there's always more to learn, more to explore, and more connections to be made. Your journey continues, and we can't wait to join you again in the oncoming weeks. And we have some amazing guests coming up here. And our guest tonight has been nothing short of spectacular. Barbara, how can people get a hold of you for personal consultations or to buy your amazing books?
Well, you can go to barbarawith.com, BarbaraWith.com, and that'll lead you to synergyalliance.llc. And I'm also on Facebook on Barbara With and Einstein in the Party, and just Google me.
Well, we want to thank you very much, Barbara. Plus, we want to thank Mr. Albert Einstein and all the other alumni of your what would you call it, the party? I think you referred to it a few times.
The party.
Famous people.
It's a party. Mm-hmm. It's a party.
Okay.
It is a party.
It has. It has been amazing. And for those people, remember, everybody has their own free will and free choice. We all have our own opinions. And what we're putting forth here on Blog Talk Radio is for informational purposes only. You may agree with us or disagree with us. That's your choice. But here we put forward people who have interesting backgrounds as we explore and expand into the human consciousness. And so we welcome people who have different beliefs, fascinations with subjects of consciousness. And as you're seeing tonight, Barbara has this unique ability to channel some very famous and, I guess, productive people when they were here in the incarnate, I guess I should say. And now that they are discarnate, they are still keeping their finger in the world, keeping it going, if I can call it that. So one last time, Barbara, people can get to you at barbarawith.com, and you're on social media, and you're available for personal consultations. And don't forget to buy... Are your books on Amazon, or where can people pick them up?
They are, but you can also find them on synergyalliance.llc. All my books and my classes and my events that are coming up, synergyalliance.llc.
Okay. Well, I usually let Doug have a last comment here. Have you got a minute to say goodbye or goodnight, Doug?
Yes, thank you very much, Barbara. I really enjoy and I'm very impressed with what you do. It's extremely worthwhile. And I wish you much joy, success, and fulfillment in all of your future endeavors. God bless you.
Oh, thank you so much, and right back at you.
Okay, and our special thanks is to our producer, Paul, tonight, who's been wrestling with the switchboard, trying to get the mics working properly. He's done a very good job. A couple little teeny tiny little things happened tonight. But once again, Paul is the producer, and we thank Paul for being there tonight to help us out. I know your microphone is whatever it is. I don't think it's letting you talk to us, but we know you're there because we see the magic happening behind the scenes. So everybody, good night. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell. You're listening to the Global Village Radio, International Radio Show. Go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and there you will find links to my YouTube channel, the Douglas James Cottrell Show, and also the ever-popular podcast, Wake Up, and many, many more social media platforms with wonderful guests, great information, and information you can grow by, learn, and advance your spiritual consciousness to wherever you want to go. Until next week, on behalf of Paul Hughes, Doug Bentley, myself, and our special guest, Barbara Witt, tonight. Good night, peace and prosperity to you all.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindProbe Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.